Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together. Well, hello everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Go and Teach Bible Study program this morning. If you're in the Phoenix area and you're looking for a place to worship the Lord today, why don't you come and visit us over at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. That's on 40th Street in between McDowell and Thomas Roads. We have our Bible classes this morning at 9:30. We meet for worship at 10:20. And on Sunday evenings, we have worship at 6 o'clock. Also, if you're able, we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday evenings beginning at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you with us. We'd love to get to know you. And if you're interested in setting up a personal Bible study or you have any questions, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you have a Bible and you're able to, please turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. We'll begin reading here in just a few minutes. The setting of this story here in Genesis chapter 11, the flood has already occurred. Noah and his family have made it through safely in the ark. When they left the ark, God told them to go out and populate the earth, and so that's what they did. Now, there was a population of people here on the face of the earth, and as we see here in verse 1, they all had the same language. And so, what did they decide to do? Well, they wanted to build up a structure. They wanted to build up a city. And in verse 4, we see them saying to themselves, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." God looked down at this venture and really wasn't very happy with it. He goes on to say here, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they purpose will be withheld from them." God's not very happy about them building up a city into heaven. He's not very happy about them literally trying to elevate themselves to some great and high position. The other day, as I was considering this passage, I asked myself a question. Why did God choose to punish them? Why did God choose to confound their efforts in the way that he did? Because as we go on here and we see, God says, "Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." And so God chose to confuse their language. Why? Why choose language? Couldn't God have struck them blind? Couldn't God have caused serpents to come among them and bite them? Couldn't God have made them fall into a deep sleep? I mean, all these things would have prevented them from being productive in their building. No, God chose to strike at the very heart of what it means to be in a society, what it means to be a part of a community. And that's communication. God knew that communication was such an important part of who we are as people, how we get along with one another, how we interact with one another. He knew that just by confusing their language, they would no longer be able to build this great tower that they were trying to build. It highlights in my mind that communication is one of the most powerful tools that we have at our disposal today. From a really early age, we learn to communicate with one another. And trust me, I have a 2-year-old daughter who is learning how to communicate. From a really early age, you know, we taught her sign language so that she could at least tell us, you know, "more" or "all done" or "please" and "thank you." Now she's learning to communicate even more as a 2-year-old. And she's, half the time I don't even understand a word she says. But she's trying, she's working on it, and it's something that as we grow and as we get older and more mature, we're constantly honing our communication skills so that we can be productive and so that we can be effective. Even today, as technology advances, we've moved beyond just face-to-face communication, and we've gone even into ventures such like the cell phone and text messages and emails. We can communicate with one another on Facebook or Twitter or other social media. It's amazing what we can do today in terms of communication. And while we acknowledge that communication is such an important part of our lives, the question this morning, are we communicating skillfully? Are we communicating with wisdom? Are we communicating with understanding? Are we communicating in the way that God wants us to communicate? As children of God, the Bible is very clear that we should be constantly aware of and careful with how we talk to our fellow man, how we communicate with them. You know, the two most basic components of communication are speaking and listening. And so this morning, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about speaking. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll discuss what the Bible has to say about listening. My good brother, Ryan Joy, is going to be on the program next Sunday morning, and he's going to be talking about listening. So definitely tune in for that. But this morning, we're going to talk about speaking. As a component of communication, how do we speak skillfully? How do we speak with wisdom? And when we discuss this, really, we're not talking about just modifying the words that we say. It would be really easy for us to just say, well, you should say these words and not say these other words and avoid, you know, really that sounds like what the Pharisees had done. The Pharisees in the time of Jesus, they really talked a good game. They said all the right things. But Jesus pointed out their hypocrisy all throughout the Gospels because they said one thing, but in their heart, they were thinking something totally different. And so it's important for us to see, as Jesus would go on to rebuke the Pharisees, that we're really talking about modifying the condition of our heart, not just the words that we say. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says, "How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." As he's going to go on to say here, our words are even so important, and the condition of our heart is so important, that we are going to have to give an answer for every single word that we say in judgment. In verse 36 here, Jesus says, "Every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So in order to help us understand how to use our words wisely, we're going to look at the instruction of the wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth, save Jesus Christ himself, and that is King Solomon. King Solomon, who prayed for wisdom. King Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, who wrote the book of Proverbs. This morning, if you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, we're going to look at what Solomon has to say about speaking with wisdom, the ways that we can speak skillfully, the ways that we can improve in our speech so that we are pleasing to God in everything that we say, so that at the last day, in judgment, we won't have said something that we shouldn't have said, and we won't be surprised and caught off guard when God asks us, "Why did you say that?" So let's turn to the book of Proverbs, and we'll begin looking in chapter 10, Proverbs 10, beginning in verse 19 here. But the first key to speaking skillfully is that our speech needs to be thoughtful. Solomon says here, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom." He's really saying here, you know, people who are so quick to jump to a conclusion, people who are so quick to respond and to blurt out a response, need to step back and need to think about what they say before they respond. We need to understand that our words have such great power to build up or to tear down, and that we should carefully consider what it is that we're trying to say or going to say before we say it. If I'm not thinking about what I say, it doesn't really matter how many words I use or how flowery my speech is. My words are worth nothing. He says, "The heart of the wicked is worth little, but the lips of the righteous feed many." So think about that. Are you thoughtful in what you say? Are you considering what comes out of your mouth? Are you thoughtful about not only what you say, but how the people who you're speaking to are going to receive what you say? And so the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Have you ever met somebody who just can't stop talking? Have you ever met somebody who is always telling you all the things that are going on in their life? And I'm not even just talking about face-to-face communication here. You know, there you get on Facebook and you see people who literally are telling you every single thing that occurs throughout their day. The wise writer here is saying that someone who talks that much is more prone to sin. But when we think about what we say, when we restrain ourselves, then we are wise. And so think about what you say. Stop for a moment and consider the effect of your words and how they're going to impact others. We also need to speak truthfully. Not only do we need to speak thoughtfully, but we need to speak truthfully. If you look over in Proverbs chapter 26 in verse 18, the wise writer says, "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" Like a madman, the wise writer says. This guy's crazy. He's out there throwing arrows, and he's out there throwing firebrands, and he's out there throwing death. That's the kind of person, that's what's really happening when we lie to one another and we say, "I was just kidding." Truthfulness is such a critical aspect to our Christian life, in our Christian walk, being truthful, being honest, loving the truth. Clearly, God hates a lying tongue. Now, he says as much in Proverbs 6, verse 17. But it's really often easy for us to explain away our lies or to think that they're okay just because we say, "Well, I was just kidding. I didn't mean it." Because truthfulness is so critical, how do we ever hope to gain someone's trust about even small matters or large matters if we're not honest with them? Society has become okay with little white lies. But these things have no place in the vocabulary of a Christian. It's fine for us to joke around with one another. It's fine for us to develop friendly relationships with one another. But we better not be lying to one another. We better not be telling things to one another that are untrue, and then just explaining it away when we're caught by saying, "Oh, I was just kidding." When considering what we say, if something is untrue, or even if we're not even sure about its truthfulness, something that we're not even really confident in whether it's true or not, it should never leave our lips. God is the father of truth. The devil is the father of all liars. And so when we speak to one another, are we speaking things that are true? Are our words a source of truth? Or instead, are we saying things, or is it easy for us to say things to one another that isn't true? We're never going to build up relationships of trust and understanding and dependency and commitment if we can't be honest with one another. And so we need to speak thoughtfully, we need to speak truthfully, and we also need to speak constructively. Look over in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 21, the wise writer says here, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." It seems that a lot of people I know find it really easy to complain And I do the same thing from time to time. It's easy to complain. It's easy to say things about how bad your day is going, or how tough your boss is, or why you'd rather be home at, you know, on the couch watching television. Or sometimes it's easy for us to complain. Sometimes it's easy to gossip, to talk about one another, to tear each other down behind our backs. Sometimes it's easy to belittle one another. But are we instead choosing to build one another up and edify one another with our words? That's what the wise writer's saying here. He says the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Can you help somebody learn about God by what you say? Can you help increase their faith by the things that you say? Can you help lead them to a closer relationship with God by the things that you say? And consider all the people that you speak to throughout the day. Are your words a sweetness to their soul? Whether it's your spouse, whether it's a member of your local church, maybe it's the barista at the coffee shop that you go to. Are we using our words to lead them to God and to bring them closer to a relationship with His dear Son? Our words are so important. And I think sometimes we forget how important our words are. That every word that we say could be like a gift given to somebody who needs it. He says that pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They're sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. You ever think about what you say as like medicine? Like adding health to someone's life? Our words and what we say, what we choose to say, is like a gift to someone, giving them something that they can benefit from and love and cherish. Are we saying things that are constructive and that will build them up and help them in their walk with God? Just because something might be true doesn't mean that it needs to be said. Is what we say constructive? Is what we say going to lead somebody to be built up, edified, encouraged, and not to tear them down? Think about it. If every single thing that was true about you was posted on a public forum somewhere so that everybody could know everything about your life that was true, does that make you a little nervous? Yeah, that would be a very hard thing if everything that was true about us was made public to everyone. So is what we say thoughtful? Is what we say truthful? Is what we choose to say something that will build up our fellow man and be constructive in some way? And finally, is what we say seasonable? That sounds like a funny word. We don't use that word very often, seasonable. But really, if you look over in Proverbs chapter 25 in verse 11, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about here. The wise writer says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear." He says a word fitly spoken. When I talk about speaking seasonably, I'm talking about a word that is appropriate for the moment. It'd be really easy for us to try to lay out some formula here, to say, well, if you're ever curious about what to say, here's exactly what you need to say. I don't think that formula exists, because every person is different. Every situation is different. And so sometimes you have to tailor what you say to be fitting or seasonable for that moment. If you've ever been on the receiving end of someone who carefully and lovingly thought about exactly what they needed to say, and said it to you at exactly the moment that you needed to hear it, then you understand what the wise writer is trying to say here. How do we know what the right thing to say is to someone who's grieving? Well, we know what the right thing to say is by our wisdom and by prayer. How do we know what the right thing to say is to somebody who is living in sin? we know what to say because we have wisdom and because we pray to our God. How do we know what to say to somebody who needs encouragement, who might be down or depressed or blue? We know what to say because of wisdom and prayer. Finding the right response for the situation really isn't easy. But we need to be considerate of every person's situation. We need to be considerate of where they are and what they're going through. And think about, is this the right time to say what needs to be said? And if not, then we need to find something else to say. Or better yet, even to keep our mouth shut in some cases. The wise writer would go on in Ecclesiastes to talk about the times and the seasons. He would say there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And sometimes the key to speaking effectively is actually not speaking at all. Sometimes the key to speaking skillfully and with wisdom is actually just to be quiet. And so, are we using our words skillfully? Are we thinking about what we say? Are we speaking things that are true? Are we choosing words that are going to build up one another instead of tear one another down? And are we considering the time, considering the situation before we say whatever it is that we choose to say? These are just a few things that we can think about before we open our mouth, before we talk to one another. But think about what God did back in Genesis chapter 11. The people were trying to make a name for themselves. They were trying to build up this great building. And God confused their language so that everything that they said was in a totally different language and nobody could understand one another. When we speak things, when we say things that people can't understand, when we speak in such a way that's not edifying and constructive and with love, then we're never going to be productive. And when I talk about being productive, we're never going to be effective. As a servant of the Lord, we want to influence people. We want to help people develop a closer relationship with God and help them get to heaven. Will people see God living in us? Will people know that we are truly a Christian by the things that we say, by the words that come out of our mouth? I think it's such an important thing for us to be careful about what we say. James said that the tongue is so powerful that it can set ablaze an entire forest just by a single word. If you really think about the power that our words have, all it takes sometimes is one word to brighten someone's day. But all it could take is one word to ruin someone's day. And so let's think about everything that we say and whether or not these things are leading other people to the Lord. And let's not just consider the words that we use, but our heart as the source of these words. Because out of our lips come the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So do people see the love that you have in your heart for them based on the things that you say? Do people see the relationship that you have with God based on the things that you say? Are people brought closer to the Lord because of the teaching that you offer and because of the good example that you are in what you say? I don't think it can be overemphasized how important communication is. It's the very thing that God used to thwart the plans of man. And it's the very thing that gives us the power to help change the lives of those around us. Our words are powerful. Are we thoughtful about what we say? Do we speak things that are true? Do we speak things that serve to build one another up and not to tear them down? And do we speak things with wisdom, giving consideration to the current situation that someone might be in, giving consideration to the season? Next week, Lord willing, again, we'll consider the other side of communication, which is listening. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning, and I hope this week you'll have opportunity to use your words to glorify God and to bring those around you closer to Him. Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.